everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I'm the head coach at Grace. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. I am honored to have David Gibbs with us today. David is the owner and founder of Gibbs Financial Coaching. As a one-on-one coach, David helps people guide themselves along their own financial journey because it's all about them achieving their dreams. But he helps them create a specific plan to help them do that. David builds his clients' financial muscles so that they can stay on track even when he's not around. David is also a fellow Ramsey Preferred coach with me. Ooh. David, how are you doing today?
I'm rolling along. I hurt my back a couple days ago. So I actually have an ice pack on my back right now. But I'm only 34, but I'm feeling old.
You have an ice pack and I have a heating pad. Apparently we're 80.
I'm going to switch to a heating pad after the ice pack.
I love it. So, David, tell me about your coaching practice. You've been doing this for a while now. How do you help your clients?
Pretty much everything you said. I love helping folks. I have always somehow been in a position in my life to be a teacher in some way. So I love those moments of clarity that I give folks. I've been a librarian previously. My degree is actually in criminal justice because in my whole life, I've just wanted to help people. And it was finally with this coaching practice, I'm like, yes, this is really helping people. I mean, just about a year or so ago, I had a client who they're teetering on bankruptcy for the first 3 months of meeting with me. And now they've paid off over $100,000 in our first year of being together, and they're well on their way to getting out of debt. That's legacy change. That's for their children. And they have like 5 kids. They had a bunch of kids. And I was like, yes, you know, that's the kind of work I want to be doing. So it's an exciting thing.
Yeah. Those are the big stories. What are some of the smaller like mindset changes that you frequently see with your clients?
The biggest one is, doing a budget this month. I have more money than I thought I did. And, there's all these things that I'm paying for that I didn't think I was paying for. That's always the first basic thing that people realize. Just having a budget feels a little bit by like having a raise.
Yeah, definitely. We are now in a subscription culture. I truly believe that. I think, I'm just going to coin that phrase right now if nobody else has done it, but we are now a subscription culture because once we sign up for a subscription, right, the vendor or the person we're purchasing from knows that they have our business on a consistent basis. I mean, there's no better business model than that, right? What are some of the weirdest subscriptions you've seen? Because I've seen some weird ones recently.
I don't recall seeing anything that really jumps out. What I see a lot, though, is people don't even realize. Like, I just had a person I was talking to yesterday had a consultation, and she was just saying, I just figured out how to even look at my Apple subscriptions today. And she was like, there's just a list.
Yes.
And so it's just these little things that all of a sudden you have a list and you don't even realize it's happening because it's a dollar here, a dollar there, $1.50 for this app, who knows how many apps they have where they're playing Candy Crush and keep getting better candy. But people, have a hard time because it's somehow when they're not using the budget, when it's just in their phone somewhere, they don't see it. They don't realize that.
Right.
And I love it. I always quote with my clients, Mulan from 1998, not the live new one, that the king says in that movie, a single grain of rice can tip the scale between victory and defeat. So I always tell my clients, it's a dollar here, a dollar there, but all of a sudden it's $25. All of a sudden, that's $500 over the course of the year when those things add up.
Right. Apple, I have an Apple iPhone. They make it specifically difficult to go in and find where those subscriptions are. I have worked with clients where I'm like, hold on, let me grab my phone. Okay, go to settings, and I have to like reteach myself while I'm sitting there with them. This is how you go look at your subscriptions. And I will agree with you. I had one woman I was coaching when I was still in California. Her face just dropped. She had no idea. She goes, oh my gosh, I'm still paying for 3 dating apps. I haven't gone on a date in 2 years. She's like, I've been too busy. I don't even care about it. She's like,
Suzanne, I've been paying for these for 2 years and I haven't used them.
And she goes in finally and has like 50 messages from Juan Fuego from India saying, come and be my wife. I will give you millions.
Oh my gosh. She logged in. She said that she almost got when she, you know, because part of her homework that week, right, was to go in and cancel those. I think that was her only homework that week. Yeah. I was like, okay, go in and cancel all of those things. If you find something you use, like she was using like a white noise app. Okay, fine. If that's something you're using every single night, then and it's 99 cents a month, then we will figure that out in the budget, right? Yeah. But she started going in and she had to log in to cancel these. She had like 100 messages and she started reading them and she was like, nope, I'm canceling this right now. I'm not reading these.
And it's amazing. All that has become so challenging and so prevalent. Now you have Truebill and the onset of these things to help you handle all those subscriptions that you don't know you have.
David, you and I would be millionaires had we just come up with that together like 3 years ago, right?
Oh, but I don't know. I don't feel like I need that. I just, because, you know, in my mind, I use a budget every month and I'm looking at my bank account. So right. What's that dollar? I'm going to go find out what that is, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest benefit that I tell people about. You know, full disclosure, I use Every Dollar in my household, which is Dave Ramsey's budgeting software. But that's that's a huge benefit because all of a sudden it's forcing you to look at the little orange circle with the transactions in it. And you're like, what is this $1.99? Yeah. Like my husband accidentally got like double charged for like, I don't know. He was switching from Apple Music to Amazon Music or whatever it was. He was so angry. He's like, I canceled this, but he saw it come up on the app. And that's how he knew he had gotten charged for an extra month, even though he had canceled. So that $7.99, that can slip through the cracks pretty quickly.
Yep. And it adds up.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of making mistakes with money, David, I created this show to help people realize we all make financial mistakes and hopefully whoever's watching can learn from our experience. So David, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done with money?
So this is a good story.
I started to read it and I stopped.
Years ago, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far out, before I got married and actually right before I met my wife, which it was interesting that it happened right before we met. And I'll tell you that later. But I had, you know, I was single. I didn't have, you know, all the money in the world, but I had a good chunk of change saved up and I was going on a right path. And I had learned about Ramsey for the very first time at that point. But in my mind, in my heart, it just wasn't fast enough. I wasn't the wealth builder that I was dreaming of already, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. Now thinking back, I don't know why I was being so hard on myself. And it could have been greed. It could have been just, I really think it comes to like a greedy, selfish, possibly, you know, not being okay with it taking time to get where I need to go. Wanted a little rich quick thing. So I was looking online. Oh, we know that all good things can be found online.
Totally.
And I found some secret shopper things to go and make some extra money. And oh yeah, if I do this, I'll make extra money. And the naiveness. I ended up falling into a scam where I lost $5,000. And because I thought it was a secret shopper thing, I went out with my best friend and I blame him to this day because he didn't say anything. He didn't say, David, this doesn't seem like a good idea. But yeah, I totally fell for it. And I ended up doing some stupid wiring some money so that I can get some money, which doesn't make any sense at all. But I, in my youth, I thought it made sense. And yeah, lost $5,000.
Oh, man. Okay, so I've got to pause on and ask about the best friend.
Yeah.
Once we realized what had happened.
Yeah. Which I feel like, say? Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, I thought this wasn't going to be a good idea. And I realized it 2 seconds after it already happened. So I called my bank. I tried to stop it from happening. They couldn't do anything. It was already gone.
So what was kind of like, what, give me one thing that made you feel uneasy about it that you can remember.
I just got a bad feeling. It just, this doesn't seem right. And too late after I'd already done it.
Oh man, I know. And how many times have we talked to clients who got a bad feeling about something, right? And now they're calling us after the fact.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just have to listen to, well, you know, whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it the Holy Spirit, if you want to call it your gut instinct, if you want to call it whatever you want to call it, you know, your conscience, whatever you'd like to refer to it as.
Yeah.
Had you just listened to that gut instinct, we might have saved $5,000, huh?
Yeah. And I would have been much better off. But you know, it was good for me in the long run. But my wife and I literally had our first date only like a couple of weeks after that had happened to me. And we had an okay first date. I had a little bit of money, but I literally had to tell her, I got to tell you, I just lost all this money. And it's going to be a little romantic for a while. And that means cheap because I'm going to have to think of some stuff, you know, because all my money was taken from me. But I really go back to, you know, the core feelings of, instead of just working, instead of just, you know, thinking of other, I mean, there's tons of legitimate ways you could be making money. I was looking for, what can make me rich now? I don't want to do this. I don't want to, you know, grow my character. I don't want to make sure I'm on budget. I don't want to, you know, slowly invest in things over time that will accumulate. I just want to go get my money right now.
The irony, if you guys knew David, everybody who's watching, I see there's a bunch of people on Facebook right now. If you guys knew David personally, the irony of him saying, I didn't want to build my character is not lost on me because David is a very stand-up guy. So what was your wife's reaction on the first date when you said, hi, sweetheart, nice to meet you. I just lost $5,000.
Well, I mean, luckily I was ridiculously good looking.
Of course.
And so, yeah, we survived. I mean, it was such a fun first date that we actually ended up getting married exactly 1 year later after that first date. But because it was one of the most upfront, truthful first dates ever. So for dating advice for everybody, it's not about your money. It's not about what you do with them. I mean, we saw a movie, went out to dinner, and I had her play the Star Wars trilogy arcade game and say, hey, are you going to enjoy this? Because this is me. And she played it, and she's been stuck with Star Wars ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I've often referred back to when I first met my husband. He was about to purchase a new truck. And I said, do me a favor, because he was getting a kind of, I don't want to say a windfall, it wasn't like millions and millions of dollars, but there was like, he was getting a bit of cash handed to him for a specific reason. And he was going to put it as a down payment on a bigger truck than he already had. I said, do me a favor, can you watch these videos before you do that? I had literally met him like less than 2 weeks before he was supposed to get this money. Yeah. And I made him watch Financial Peace University in a week.
Yeah. No. Oh, here we go. Listen to this. So I lost $5,000 before, about a month before we met. She bought a new car with payments a month before we met.
Yay!
If she had only met me sooner, I would have tried to stop her from buying the car. And I didn't find that out until our second date. So on our second day, I said, so how much debt do you have? Second date, how much debt do you have? And during that next year, I got her, and of course, you know, there was a little bit of a honeymoon phase. So she was like, oh, sure, I'll start doing a budget and all this stuff. But in my mind, I'm like, she's beautiful. I think I want to marry her. So let's get her on that budget and get this debt rolling. So if we get married, I won't have to pay for as much. No, I'm just kidding. I would have done it if I had to. But yeah, so I got her rolling. But the thing is, that is so healthy, I think. You know, so many people all of a sudden were already engaged and just now we're talking about finances.
David, I know people who are married and they're just starting to talk about their finances.
And then you're stuck now. You know, I mean, if I had found out on the second date that she had, you know, I mean, it would have been more not the amount of debt, but her attitude. I would have started seeing that attitude. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. you know, so why not talk about those things earlier on?
Right. And if you're looking at marriage as till death do us part, you know, God forbid something dramatic happens, then that's really something that you need to talk about because you're legally, depending on the state, you're inheriting that debt, right? You wake up one morning and it's whatever the definition of marriage is in that state. And that is really just as much David's debt as it is his wife's debt now because you guys are legally married. And so it's not it's not stupid to talk about that. It's not, it is awkward. But man, is it like, you know, and when he was talking, my husband was talking about upgrading that truck, I said, it was just an in for me, right? I was like, hey, I'd really like you to watch these videos before you buy that truck. And I literally just looked at him and I said, can you just promise me that you won't buy the truck until we finish these videos? I was like, there's only 9 videos. He's like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't seem like, okay, like how long can 9 videos take? You know, needless to say, he didn't realize they were all an hour. But it gave him an excuse to see me.
Yeah,
I was making dinner and then we would watch the next Financial Peace video. Awesome. And he never upgraded that truck. He actually, when he was moved for the military, he downgraded right after he moved. He downgraded in vehicle. And I think he cut his payments in less than half, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there you go. See, and it's the perfect opportunity, really, because it's, you know, when you first meet each other, everybody's all excited. We'll do anything for each other.
Exactly. So if you could go back in time, how would you change the whole, your decision-making structure with the scam?
It just would have been, if I need some extra money, if I want to do, you know, something else, it would have been anything else, you know, nothing quick, but something with integrity, you know, something that, you know, go do some extra work. Like, man, my wife and I, we always talk about this, and everybody out there listening, before you get married, before you have children, that's your chance. Get 3 jobs.
Yeah. You know,
there's no reason for you to just be sitting at home doing nothing all the time, spending money. That's your chance, because it's a whole lot harder in each stage to fix those things, to turn. It's almost like you're starting out with a rowboat. You can turn that pretty easy, but then you get a yacht and then you get Titanic. And the older you get, the farther along you get in life, it's a little bit harder to turn. And hopefully you'll still turn before the iceberg hits.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why she's a big Titanic fan.
I love it. You guys are movie buffs. That's so funny. I'm going to stick you guys in a room with Tim Mann, and we're just never going to let you guys out again.
Oh yeah, Tim and I, we always go back and forth with movies. He's a big
fan
too, just like I am.
So we would obviously go back and we would have more of those jobs. But I want to touch on what you just said about the rowboats and the Titanic. What do you you see as you go through the courtship process, right? We're dating, we're engaged, we're married, we're moving, and or we have kids, and then we're moving, and that window of time gets smaller and smaller. What do you recommend for your clients to do if they find themselves in that situation where, hey, we're married, we have 3 kids, and we have debt, and time is not on our side, right? There's only 24 hours in one day. What would you say to a client who's in that position?
Well, you know, and I'm sure you do the same thing. You know, it all starts with your reason why, and then it starts with your goals and a time limit. Especially in that situation, you know, of course, you know, like Dave always says, going to work will solve your problems, right? But the thing is, you know, you kind of have to do a little bit more balancing and maintenance, you know, and what I always say is we need to get the entire family involved. We need to get the kids excited to say no to themselves. You know, and that's where it's a huge opportunity for the kids to learn along with the parents and grow with along with the parents, so that when we have, you know, that thermometer in the living room that we've been coloring in, everybody's excited. And I mean, I've heard so many stories of kids like, okay, you know, let's cut down Christmas because I'm excited. We're on a mission together as a family. It's not just we have our little renters over here being angry because we're saying no. We're going to teach you something, and we're all going in this direction because we want our family to do this. And then, of course, you know, there's only so much you can do, only so much time you have. So you have to have the balance of fire and contentment being friends. You know, I mean, it could mean that, okay, we're going to go hard for 3 to 6 months. We're going to work hard and do this. And then we're going to take a break for 3 months, and then we're going to attack again. You know, just, it's just something that you have to make sure that everybody in the family is okay, feeling loved and on board, you know?
Definitely.
And that's something that you don't have to do when you're single and you can just kill yourself and be tired on the weekend. But when you have a family, you know, you can't just, okay, kids, I'll see you in 6 months.
Right. You know? Yeah. Definitely. And even with the, we're really lucky in this day and age that we have the gig economy, right? That now people can pick up a job for a handful of hours and then be home at night and then switch off possibly with the other parent or switch off with a, you know, a babysitter or a family member or whatever the situation is. And we're really lucky to have that. Whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was a full-time job and a part-time job and you didn't make those hours. Yeah. So we have the flexibility today to do, to really impact our bottom lines more than we did before.
Yeah. And I know families, you know, they're doing, you know, grocery and DoorDash and all that stuff, and they bring their kids with them.
Yeah. And
that's still a great example because they're seeing this is what we need to do to create the life that we want.
Exactly. You know,
and going back to the reason why, thinking in high definition, what do we want our life to look like? And bringing the kids in, what do we want? What do you want our lives to look like? You know, so that we can help you with college so that we can do this, we can do that. Write it down, do it together as a family, make some vision boards. You know, I mean, my wife and I, we got to go to Disney World for the first time last year. And 4 years before that, guess what was on my computer? My background was the Disney World castle because I want to do that. You know, we're thinking about that. We're working towards it. And that always helps to say no more often to other things because that's not all you have to do is it. Because I always try to remind my clients that it's not Dave Ramsey telling you no. It's not me telling you no. Your budget is yours. They're not said, there's not some big bad man that's going to come in and say, oh, you're such a bad person. No, no, no. This is your life. Do you want it to look like this or that? Pick one.
Right.
You know, so you're saying you want it to look like this. So you make the decision. Does this budget, this month, this decision get you to what you want?
Not your ultimate goal. Right. Yeah. And that's who you're responsible to, right? Your budget and yourself ultimately at the end of the day.
People always, it always seems like they want to try and put the responsibility on you and me. Like, oh, my coach told me to do this or say, no. I'm going to push it right back. It's you.
I will allow people, my clients though, to use me as the bad guy though, because in certain situations, no, because our clients will find that they have a family member who doesn't understand why they're cutting back on stuff. Just put the trip to Disney World on a credit card and go with us this year. Yeah. Why are you driving that car? You look ridiculous. And so I will give my clients permission for sure to use me as the bad guy and say, I hired a financial coach and she said, I'm just not upgrading the car right now.
Yeah. That's true. I've done the same thing. Yeah, definitely.
You know, awesome, David. Yeah. It was so good to catch up with you today. And I really appreciate your honesty in sharing the dumbest thing you've ever done with money. Check out the show notes for David's contact information if you guys want to learn more about his company. And for everybody who jumped in, I saw a whole bunch of people jump in on Facebook Live today. Ooh. If you missed part of the show, log into YouTube and look up Grace Financial Coaching and you can check out our entire interview with David. And we'll see you guys next week for another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. Thanks again, David.
Woo. Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.